The book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 28, we're going to read the first 17 verses in this chapter. The Bible says in Matthew 28 and verse number 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before thee into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and shewed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. This saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Father, we love you today and want to celebrate the day that you've arose from the grave. We come today on Sunday as every other Sunday, as that day of appointed worship, the day we recognize, the day we remember, the day we memorialize that you are the conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. The day, Lord, that secures our way to heaven. Our salvation is full, free, and final because of the resurrection. It is settled forever in heaven. It is declared finished, and it is realized as finished on this day. Lord, if you had not raised from the dead, we'd still be in our sin. Lord, if you had not raised from the dead, our preaching would be in vain. Our lives would be in vain. But verily, you have raised from the dead. Thank God we celebrate that you are alive. And Lord, I pray that you'd empty us out of flesh and feeling and help us to mind facts today and have a festival, Lord, so to speak, spiritually, of the fact that we are saved, secure, and settled forever in heaven because of the day that we memorialize this day, the resurrection. Lord, it took place on a day that is commonly known as Easter. Lord, we don't celebrate a day, we celebrate an event on this day. The fact that you have raised and we have realized full salvation. Thank God for justification. You were delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Lord, we pray on the grounds of the resurrection. We preach on the grounds of the resurrection. And we pray all the results will be on the grounds and based upon that resurrection. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Just by way of almost a double introduction, I want to mention a text today. And the text comes from Acts in chapter number 12 and verse number 4. You can write it down, look it up later, or listen to me as I read it. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. What is Easter? There are a lot of things that go on this day. We dress up for Easter in our Sunday service, our new Easter outfits. We usually bring dinners to our homes of our families or gather sometimes at church. Many have Easter egg hunts for the children. But what really about Easter brings glory to God? What honors Christ? What do we do on Resurrection Sunday that reminds us our salvation is complete? The first time that Easter, the only time it's mentioned in your Bible, it was mentioned in Acts chapter 12 and verse number 4. You'll find that word in your Bible. It is a spring festival that has been celebrated long before Jesus came. It is that time after a long winter that they celebrate in pagan festivals, the spring of new life. Every year around the month of April, the Jews would gather together during this same time in this spring festival, and they would have a celebration for Passover. They were grateful for being out of Egypt as a people and as a heritage. And so it just so happened, amen, Jesus Christ is our Passover. And the Bible tells us he is our Passover. And isn't it amazing that during the same time, just so happened, according to man's view, that Christ was crucified the day that the Lamb would be offered. He was buried and rose again. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. And during that church council of Nicaea, they met and decided that Christians would hold Easter each year and they celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But let me just say, as Christians, what are we celebrating on this day that we call Easter? We call Resurrection Sunday. Those who know the Lord as their personal Savior, those who have trusted Christ, have been redeemed. Amen. We've got something to celebrate. We don't celebrate a day. We celebrate an event. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, at Calvary. Eternity intersected with time. Jesus declared with a loud voice, "It is finished," and gave up. No man took his life. He laid it down and he said, "If I've got power to lay it down, I've got power to take it up again." And so he did. And the earth shook. Amen, and I'll get to it in a little bit, but in case I forget, why did the earth shook when he died, groaning, probably moaning for the Creator had died. Creation was symbolizing their weeping. But why did the earth shake again when the angel came and rolled the stone? It's almost like, Brother Scott, the earth was clapping his hands and saying, "The sun is up." The S-O-N, the sun is up. We've got something to celebrate. We celebrate an event. Can anybody say amen? He arose. He's alive. We've got something to celebrate. One day, he's prepared a place for us, Brother Scott. And one day, he's going to come back and receive us unto himself and transport us to the place he's prepared for us. Until then, he's prepared a place for us to be saved. So what is Easter? What happened on Easter? There's a lot of things happen on Easter. If you were to do a search on history, what happened in it, you'd find this. There's one battle that took place on Easter. It was in Austria, in a little place called Feldrich, in Austria. Napoleon was making his worldwide march, conquering everywhere that he went. And he came to this little place there in Austria. And the residents knew it was Resurrection Sunday. It was Easter Sunday. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't face. They didn't have the ability. They didn't have the manpower. They didn't have the ammunition. They didn't have the weapons. So here's what they did, Brother Scott. They went to church. And they started ringing the church bells and celebrating the fact and praising God that Jesus was resurrected. And you know what? Napoleon heard the bells ring, heard the praise and the hallelujahs, and he packed his army and ran because he thought the Austrian army had landed there. Amen. And he tucked his tail and won. And they won a battle without ever lifting a finger. Well, I'm glad there's another battle that's been won. Amen. And we celebrate it today. We can ring the church bells and we can lift our voices and hallelujah. Amen. Because we didn't lift a finger, but Jesus came and conquered death, hell, and the grave, gave that final blow to the devil's head. We celebrate an event. We celebrate a battle. Oh, I'm so glad he's alive today. Can I get a witness in the house? Amen. I like that old song. I almost asked the girls to sing a song. I like that old song. You ask me why I know he lives. He lives within my heart. That's a powerful song. What a great truth. Amen. The Lord is alive, and I say amen. He lives in my heart. I remember when Austin got saved, he'd prayed for 45 minutes. I think he's 6 years old. He'd been praying for 4 years and 5 years old, and then at six. It was on the left-hand side of the altar. And I remember him praying. He prayed for a long time. I mean, people kept trying to read scripture to him and get him convinced. And I was just praying with him. I figured the Lord got him lost, the Lord could save him. Amen. If God can't get a boy saved, I sure can't save him. And so I was asking Austin, and finally he looked up at me. He said, Daddy, Jesus just saved me. I said, how do you know? He said, because I asked him and he lives in my heart. Amen. A six-year-old kid even knew that Jesus moved in his heart. I say, amen. I'm glad he's in my heart today. I want us to look at the text. We'll walk through the text. Amen. I'm just excited. Amen. We waited till 11 to get here. We're going to be here. What? No, I'm just kidding. I want to share a few things with you, all right? Look with me, if you will, in Matthew chapter number 28. It's just one of my favorite chapters. It's hard for me not to preach out of this chapter just about every Resurrection Sunday that we have. But I love the way God allowed Matthew to pin it down. He gives details that sometimes is, and I'm thankful we have the Synoptic Gospels. We have Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then we have John, boy, just to add on another one. But we have those synoptic gospels. John stands alone. And we can look at Matthew and Mark and Luke and get a panoramic view and get the complete picture. But Matthew gives such detail. I want you to notice with me in verses 1 through 4, the Lord is alive and there's an earth shaking. Hey man, number one, the Lord is alive. I want to make sure I say that. Every time I say the Lord's alive, I wish everybody say amen. Let's try it one time. The Lord is alive, and there is an earth shaking. That's what it said in our text. When the angel rolled back the stone, not to let Jesus out, but to let, amen, observationists in, and the earth shook. I believe it shook, as I said earlier, Brother Scott, as if Jesus erupted up from the bosom of Abraham in that holding cell of the saints. There were two compartments in hell. Amen. That rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and desired just for a drop of water to be on the tip of his tongue, to cool his tongue. Wasn't that what he said in Luke 16? That great gulf was fixed, that torment and torture and fire where the rich man was. And over in, Lazarus is laid back on Abraham's bosom. He's in that holding cell waiting waiting for that first fruits of the resurrection. Amen. They're kept there. They can't go to heaven yet. Jesus hadn't yet came. Every time somebody came through the door, I bet they said, "Are you him?" Amen. I can imagine that old priest went down there and said, "Are you him?" He said, "No, praise God. But I got to hold him." Amen. When he got circumcised. Hannah probably got there and they said, Have you seen him? Have you heard tell of him?" They said, "Oh, yeah, I got to see him. I laid eyes on him." I wonder if John the Baptist went in there and amen, probably said, "First thing, repent." There wasn't nobody to repent. They'd already repented. And they said, "Are you him?" He said, "No, but I'm his forerunner. And when I was in my mama's womb, I knew he was in his mama's womb. And when he came in the room, I turned back, flips, and my mama got filled with the Holy Ghost and it started my preaching from the womb. I got to baptize him one day. I'm not him, but he's here. He's coming." Boy, wouldn't that have been something? And while they was waiting over there in Abraham's bosom, amen, Jesus all of a sudden came through one day. Probably had the thief on the right side that died trusting in him. Amen, hallelujah. And he walked in, great God in heaven. Amen, delivering captivity captive, giving gifts unto men. And when he rose after that third day, having the keys of death, hell, and the grave, hooked on like an award on his vesture. Amen, the earth clapped his hands as if the veil is rent. Amen, the law satisfied, access granted. Jesus, amen, delivered to captivity captive, and the earth went to clapping his hand, longing for the day of earthly and heavenly redemption. Man, wouldn't that have been something to be there that day? The earth, hey, the Lord is alive. And there's an earth shaking. Amen. Matthew 27 verse 52 through 53, if you read the text, said the saints arose, but they didn't come out of the grave until after the resurrection. Jesus had to do it. Jesus had to bring them out. Maybe it was an earthquake and Christ erupting. Thank God, saints busting up through the ground. The Bible said when Jesus rose that third day, he said the saints was seen about 40 days walking through the village. Wouldn't that have been something? I mean, Moses come knocking on your door. Said, "I just want y'all to know he's alive, he's alive." Old death could not hold him. Wouldn't that have been something? John the Baptist, I don't know where he went, but if I know John the Baptist, he probably went over to Herod's house. He said, "You took my head, but I just want you to know I got it back, and Jesus is alive." Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Hallelujah. He's alive today. He's alive. The ladies that were there, according to Luke chapter 24, verse number 10, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, amen, were there, the mother of James and other women that were there. When they come to the tomb, they were surprised. They were amazed, according to verse 2 and verse number 3. They were amazed. And if you looked in Luke's gospel, he says they were amazed. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't figure out what was going on. They found a stone rolled away, but they couldn't find the body of the Lord. They didn't expect this. They brought some spices. They're going to add to the spices. And verse 2, when they started on the way, the earth shook. I mean, the angel of the Lord descended, took a seat and sat on it. It's as if the angel sat down just because he wanted to see heaven break loose on them. Hey, man, and it made that crowd get so still. The Bible said the keepers become as dead men. That ought not surprise us. They still hang around local Baptist church. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Lord is alive and there's an earth shaking. I mean, the earth is celebrating Jesus is alive. If it'll cause the ground to shake on earth when he arose, shouldn't we have something to thank God about? Shouldn't we have something to praise him about? Amen. Let me move on. I got a long way to thank God. Say it with me now. The Lord is alive. And encouragement is coming from an angel. Look what happened in verse number 5. "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay," past tense. Amen. The Lord gave encouragement to the ladies. As the angel assured them, there's no reason to fear. The facts are settled. Matter of fact, I've got an assignment for you. I want you to go spread the good news. He's alive. He's not here. He is risen. As he said, he kept and keeps his word. Go tell the good news. Remember now, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything's going to be established. If you look in the Synoptic Gospels, in Matthew it says that when the stone was rolled away, an angel sat on top of the stone. He's wanting to watch heaven break out. When he gives the message, he walks in there, sits on the head of the tomb or the foot, and there's another angel in there. Why? Because at the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything's going to be established. God said, I want to send two angels down there to encourage some ladies. Amen. That's what he does all the time, Brother Scott. God always sends an angel to encourage people. Matter of fact, God always sent an angel when he's going to do something spectacular. When he's going to do something special. When he's going to do something mighty. Something that he wanted to make sure he got mankind's attention. He dispatched angels to be a witness. I wouldn't be surprised if folks wouldn't see an angel now. I know Brother Raymond Sarles, man that wrote most of the Bible's college curriculum, he tells a story of being in Papua New Guinea, and they'd threaten him. They'd be in his face with a machete, daring him to open his eyes, broke in his house, stealing everything he's got, and sitting there with a machete. If he opened his eyes, he's going to cut his throat. One to be on his wife, fixing to kill her. One to be on him, fixing to kill him. He said, they tried to burn my house down. He said, one time, preacher, they burnt all my house down. I didn't even know it. Me and my wife was sleeping cool as a cucumber, woke up the next morning, opened up the bedroom door and looked outside, and the whole house was burnt down. And he said, I'd look at the fire, and the fire went halfway into the walls of my bedroom and stopped. And I came back in and said, Mama, the whole house is burnt. They burnt our house down. She said, there ain't no way. We didn't smell no smoke. There's no evidence. And he says, well, there is too. Right here at the door, you can see on this white ceiling, it's like smoke three times. He said, she got up and she went to shouting. Said, what are you shouting about, Mama? She said, God done sent an angel. When the flame started getting across the door, he blowed it out three times. Kept to say, hey, God can do what he wants to do, Brother Whittemore said. One time, they tires blew out on that bus, and he said he looked back in that rear view window and said he could literally see what he looked like an angel holding that bus on to get off on the curb. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. I know people don't believe much, and that's why they don't get blessed much. But God sends an angel, has ministers. Amen. That's what the Bible said in Hebrews 1. They're ministers. Amen. God sent them to take care of us. I know an angel had to be around me. I know as much grief as I give him, amen, my angel probably high fives the next one that takes over for him every 24 hours. They have to get relief, take care of me so much. God takes care of his children. Do y'all believe that? Amen. It's ministering spirit sent forth to minister to them who's going to be heirs of salvation. That's what the book says. God sends angels sometimes to take care of his children, but sometimes God always sends angels when he's going to do something miraculous, when he's going to do something mighty, when he's going to do something to get people's attention. You say, preacher, give me some examples. You remember when he's fixing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And he dispatched angels, amen, from the heavens, went down there by the Lord's command to Abraham's tent. Lot's been hanging around the wrong crowd. He's living among the wrong crowd. He's let his kids marry the wrong crowd. And I'm going to send some angels down there to fetch him out. And Abraham pleaded and talked with God. And he thanked God for them angels. Amen. He sent just enough. He sent, wouldn't he, what he sent? He sent two. One hand grabbed Lot's hand, the other hand grabbed his wife's hand. That second angel grabbed one daughter's hand, and the other one grabbed the other's hand. He sent just enough angels, had to drag them out. Boy, I'm telling you, God knows how to dispatch some angels. He sent an angel over there to John the Baptist's house. Zacharias and Elizabeth ain't had no kids, and God sent them down there and say, hey, you're going to give birth to somebody that's going to be the forerunner's name's going to be called John. Amen. God dispatched an angel down to Mary's house and said, you hadn't known a man, you never laid with a man, but that that's going to be conceived in you, it's going to be put there by the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's going to be a savior unto his people. Hallelujah. And Joseph's over here wondering what's going on, not knowing. And God sent an angel down there to dispatch and settle Joseph's mind. And when Jesus is born, he dispatched angels again, told that crowd watching over the flock, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm telling you, when God wants to get people's attention, he'll dispatch an angel. And he did it right here, Brother Scott. He said, I want y'all to pay attention. I won't want you to get distracted. The tomb's empty. Look where he used to lay. And good news, you get to carry the message. Go tell the crowd that he ain't here. He's risen. And if they'll go to Galilee, they'll get to see him. Amen. The Bible said they got stirred up about it. Amen. Hallelujah. They got stirred up about it. And the Bible says, hey, man, they went down there and he almost humorous. They probably walked over them guards. Bible said they became as dead men. Looks like dead men. Man, can you imagine them ladies got there anxious? Got to seeing them guards there and looking like dead people. Then seen angels. And then all of a sudden they got excited. They got to go tell the news. They didn't have no reason to be afraid. Hey, man, hallelujah, they got excited. The Bible says, hey, man, so what it says, they departed with joy. They departed quickly. They went with great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. They had a message to tell. You know what we need to realize today? Hey, he is alive and there's been an earth shaking. Hallelujah, he is alive. There's been some ladies encouraged and the message still the same today. He ain't dead, he is alive. Amen, we serve a risen Savior. There's been an evacuated tomb. Amen. They were enlightened, he is risen. They were invoked. They said, as he said, I want you to remember what he told you. And they got excited and got to go tell. Thank God he is alive. There's been some ladies encouraged. Now, you know what we get to do? We get to do what they did. We get to evangelize. We get to spread the good word. Hey, sinner, good news. You can go from gloom to glee. You can go from death to deliverance. You can go from sorrow to celebration. Amen. Amen. We got a story to tell. All is well. You don't have to go to hell. The tomb is empty. We've got a story to tell. Boy, I wished I had a revival crew with me today. Hey, we've got something to be excited about. Amen. Every morning I wake up, if you'll just listen real good, you'll hear the rooster remind us every single morning. They'll crow real loud. What they're saying is, the sun is up. The sun is up. That's what we ought to do. Every morning, get up and just look at that sun, that big ball of fire in the sky, and say, glory to God, the S-O-N is up. The sun is risen, and healing is in his wings. Amen. Thank God. Not only is he alive, and there's been an earthquake. Not only is he alive, and there's been an angelic encouragement. But thank God he's alive. Amen. Say it with me, church. The Lord is alive and there is enjoyment. You can have a good time. In verse number 8, the Bible says, they had great joy and did run. They were elated. They got to carry the angel's words, but not just that. They were elated not just because of what the angel said. They were elated because of the Savior they met. When they got down the road, hey, man, they got elected to be one of those that got to worship God. Remember Mary Magdalene? She came before everybody and stayed after everybody. Hey, something about coming to church early and staying late. And she came early and she stayed late and she saw more and heard more than any of the rest of them. And remember what she said? She saw the Lord and thought he was the gardener. And man, I don't want to go down that road because he is the gardener. He fixed everything Adam messed up. Everybody say amen. But she looked at him and said, aren't you the gardener? Where have you taken my Lord? Where have you laid his body? Not knowing if it was him or not. She's not even looking that direction. All of a sudden he said, Mary. And ain't nobody ever said her name like he said it. Nobody spoke to her with love like he spoke to her. Nobody showed compassion. They was just love, grace, mercy, and compassion in the way he said her name. And she said, Rabboni, Master. Amen. Didn't need an introduction. That is the risen Savior. You the one I'm looking for. Y'all remember that? Well, the Bible says, remember what he told her? He said, Mary, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. He put a time out to take care of the eternal salvation blood being placed on the heavenly mercy seat just because he saw one lady who was weeping and needed some encouragement. God dispatched angels for an encouragement. And he himself said, angels, move over. I'm going to take care of this one. She's a weeping and I need to go help her. If you think for one minute when you're in the corner and nobody else is around, you're wondering, does God even care? He put eternal salvation on hold just to minister to one weeping saint. God, oh man, I'm telling you right now, I'd run if I had time to. Hey, man, somebody ought to help me today. Y'all know he ministered to us in our lonely times, in our weak times, in our weary times, in our alone times, in our miserable times. God comes by and helps us, and ain't nobody around. We got to tell it for anybody to know it. And hallelujah, here she is. Man, she's got to see him, but she can't touch him. But Brother Scott, when they had left, just carrying the message that the angel had gave them, elated, excited. Thank God they were elated and excited more when they got to worship him themselves. Verse number 9 says, and as they went to tell his disciples, in other words, getting in the will of God, doing what the Lord wanted them to do, behold, Jesus met them. He's already ascended to heaven, already put that eternal blood on the eternal mercy seat. Eternal salvation is paid for in full. All sin of mankind's been put on a credit card. God showed up that day with his own blood, paid off the debt, debt free. Hey, man, God, I feel like running. Hey, man, no Wells Fargo can ever send you a credit report. Your sin debt is taken care of. I feel like shouting. Hey, man. And here's what happened. When he does all that, he comes back to them ladies, them folks being obedient, them that need a little more encouragement, because the Bible said they had a little bit of fear still left them. The Bible says they departed with fear and great joy and run to bring the disciples word. So the Lord shows up and said, all hell. And they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. You don't see no more fear in their life when they got to hold on to him. Somebody ought to say amen. The Lord would just show up when you're doing his will and let you hold on to him and worship him. They got to get at his feet. They got elected to worship Jesus, one of the first people that did. After the resurrection, boy, I'm glad Jesus will let us touch him. Jesus will speak to us. Jesus, you can read it for yourself. He appeared and they actually got to hold him. They got to, the Bible says they held him by the feet and worshiped him. Boy, ain't that going to be something, Brother Scott. We ain't get to do what they did, but one day we will. Amen. Hallelujah. One day they will. Just get busy doing what God told you to do. Just get busy evangelizing. Just get busy carrying the good news. He is not here. He is risen. As he said, just get busy telling people what Resurrection Sunday is really about. Just get busy doing that. He's liable to show up and let you worship him. Amen. They saw, they heard, they felt the resurrected Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. They carried the message, told the disciples, invited them to come over to Galilee where they can see him. Thank God the Lord is alive. There's been an earth shaking. There's been encouragement. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God there's been enjoyment. But thank God, help me out, church, the Lord is alive. And there is an enemy who is active. Now you think, well, the devil just got his head busted in. But without telling you the whole story, you remember the story of the missionary who went and had one bullet left and didn't have no more food, didn't know when the rations were going to come, and he used that one bullet, or had two bullets, used one bullet and missed, and used the second bullet and shot that snake. Y'all remember that? He shot the snake, the big boa constrictor that was in his tent, and that snake, though it was dead, instantaneous death, a snake will still move even after it's got its head chopped off. That snake tore down his tent, destroyed everything that he had left. You see, the devil has been defeated. That serpent, the dragon, has been destroyed. But he's still frailing and still beating and still trying to bruise people and still beating them down. But good news, his head's been stomped. Hey, man, Jesus is victorious. He is alive. Hey, man, thank you, Lord. But in the meantime, we've got to deal with the beating and frailing. The enemy is still active. Look at verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and shewed of the chief priests all the things that were done. And they assembled with the elders. They took counsel and they gave large sum of money. In other words, the enemy still spreading a lie. The Sanhedrin, they plotted together to make up a phony story. It's amazing. People believe that story even in the day that Matthew wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and still believe it. If you talk to Jewish people, they still believe it to this day. People would rather believe a lie than to believe the truth. They can't explain how the Lord could be risen from the dead. But I'm glad he is alive. Amen. The Lord is alive, and be aware, church, there's an enemy who's active. We see it even in the garden. You remember when Jesus is praying? That is a picture of the local independent Bible-believing Baptist church. Saints sleeping, Jesus praying, and the devil hindering. That's exactly the condition that we're in this day. So we got to be awake. We've got to be aware. We've got to be on duty. We've got to mend our post. Mama's got to watch over them youngins. Daddies, you got to be a leader of that home. Hey, man, young people got to realize when the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, don't be distracted by everything coming and going. He is alive. There's a message to tell. There's sinners that need to hear the story. There's saints that need some encouragement. And above all, Jesus desires and deserves to be worshipped. Amen. Help me out, church. The Lord is alive. And there is exaltation. Amen. That's what he said in verse 16 and 17. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain, and Jesus had appointed him. And when they saw him, they worshiped. Amen. Resurrection Sunday. All over the world. I woke up this morning, text Seth, early this morning. I mean early this morning. I don't know what time it was, but he's 7 to 8 hours ahead of us. And he said, Dad, had one of the best services we ever had since I've been here. He said, God showed up and helped me. And he said, for over here standards, it got on in church. I said, amen, thank God. He got to enjoy a resurrection service 7 to 8 hours before we did. Amen. I'm so glad he's alive. And all over the world, people's meeting together and people's going to church. Some of them that don't usually go, but thank God, there's a reason to come. There's a reason to get revived. There's a reason to get renewed. There's a reason for sinners and a way for sinners to get regenerated and reborn. We ought to get plugged in, Brother Scott. We ought to get some encouragement. Ought to get some enjoyment. Go out and evangelize. Be excited. The devil is active, but Jesus is almighty. Amen. Oh, thank God there is an exaltation. He's alive. He came, died, and rose. He did it to give us peace. Be not afraid. He's alive. You have to be real shallow if you feel like you have to be happy all the time. In spite of what's going on in your family, it may be drugs, it may be disobedient, it may be distance, it may be dying. It don't matter what's going on. In your life, Jesus is alive, and he's the answer for every question in your life. If there's a need, he's the need meter. He's the way maker. If there's anybody that can show up and change the situation in moments, it's the Lord. We just got to give it to him. Don't wait. Don't wait till next Resurrection Sunday to get encouraged, to be enjoyable. Hey, amen, about being saved. Don't wait till next Easter before you evangelize and tell somebody about it. And hey, thank God we've got something to tell, Brother Scott. I've got a story to tell. I ain't going to hell. Amen, he's alive. It's rejoicing territory. Remember what Pilate asked the Lord? I wrote it down on my notes in John 19:10. He said, he asked the Lord, he kept questioning the Lord. And he didn't ask the right questions. But here's what he said. He said, speak. He didn't answer him a word. Jesus wouldn't even acknowledge it. And Pilate said, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? You remember when he said that to the Lord? Well, he got his attention. Here's what the Lord said. Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. As if to remind him, and as if to remind the crowd that was there, and as if to remind us, nobody takes his life. He laid it down and he had power to take it up again. He laid down his life for us. He died for us. And he's buried for us. And he got up for us. The only thing he ever purchased was the church. He did it all for you and I. I say amen. He laid his glory by, put on a human robe, followed himself down to a microscopic seed, lived 9 months inside of his mama's belly, the woman that wouldn't even exist without him. Amen. Confined himself to human flesh, did all the ridiculing and all the mocking and all the scoffing. They nailed him to the cross. They beat him to a bloody pulp. He was unrecognizable, all because he loved us. He endured it all for the joy that was set before him. And he gained it. He did it. He won it by way of resurrection. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know if I should rejoice. Look for every opportunity to exalt the Lord. Hey, we're celebrating today because he's alive. He's alive. Resurrection. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I've got so much stuff since I've been saved. I don't feel worthy to lift my hand. Well, I'm glad you're here today because I just want to remind you. Resurrection answers to forgiveness for all your messes. If you were to read Mark's account, we've looked at Matthew, we've mentioned Luke, let's mention Mark before we leave. In Mark's account, here's what he says in chapter 16 and verse number 7. He said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Peter denied the Lord. Peter warned by, hey man, the world's fire. Peter hung out, changed his speech. You couldn't even recognize he was one among the crowd that followed the Lord. He changed his speech. He started cussing like the cussing crowd. Denied that he knew the Lord, the cock crew. And amen, as soon as that rooster crew and the Lord looked at him without saying a word, conviction set on his heart. He's felt like he's failed the Lord so much that he's went back to fishing and God showed up again. Boy, I'm telling you, God showed up, and on the moment of his resurrection, the first message that he tells the women, he said, go tell my disciples and just let Peter know he's one of them too. I want him to make sure I'm calling his name out. Boy, ain't you glad resurrection reminds us there is forgiveness. Failure isn't final. Forgiveness is available. Faithfulness of God is not dependent on your faithfulness to God. He's always faithful. And I tell you what, we've got a lot to be thankful about on Resurrection Sunday. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. What do you want to thank him for this